Start with prayer. O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture today is from Joel chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and again 12 to 17. Now let's pray before we read this. We thank you, Lord, for your guidance and your love in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that regardless of who we are or what we've done, that your love has never wavered nor faltered. We rely upon you, Lord, and help us to do so today. Help us to give our lives to you and to ask that you mold and shape us as you will. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and again 12 to 17. Okay. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the Lord, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet to Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. And do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of God for the people of God. It's odd enough, I think, that Ash Wednesday is probably one of my very favorite holidays of our entire Christian calendar. It's like Christmas and then Ash Wednesday and maybe Easter. I don't know. Ash Wednesday is weird. And I love it for its for what it means, for what it stands for. Ash Wednesday is supposed to be at its core a time of repentance, a time to start the fast. It's not a complete thought or day of itself. It's only the gateway into something bigger. Something bigger being Lent, of course. And so Ash Wednesday is a time where we start something, but it's supposed to continue for the next 40 days, not including Sundays. And what it's supposed to continue is a time of repentance. The time to examine our lives and see where it is that we lack. To look at our lives and help us to reflect on the nitty gritty. Oftentimes we don't like to think poorly of ourselves. Sometimes we can't help but think poorly of ourselves. But Lent is a time for us to look at our limits. Where it is we falter, how it is that we stumble, and to repent of all that, to give it up, to to let it go. I learned a neat little trick from my brother who lives in Boston, Massachusetts. He is a counselor and going after his last license, his highest license, where he will be able to run his own business and counsel whoever he wants. He's doing quite well for himself. And he says that there are people in this world who kind of struggle with negative obsessive thoughts. Now, if you're one of them, you don't have to say that you're one of them, but I will be one of the first to say that I am one of them. Every so often, without even thinking why, sometimes the thought comes into my head, you're a moron, you know, something along those lines. And it's not nice to myself. I don't understand all the times why I did it, but my brother taught a trick. And the trick is to take your fingers to your forehead, pull the thought out, throw it away. And I love the simplicity of that. There's no psychic powers you're not actually pulling out anything. It's just a physical and mental exercise. But I think to some degree that Ash Wednesday and the entire season of Lent is somewhat likened to this thing. We're not, however, just throwing it away into the abyss, but we're giving it to God. We're taking whatever it is that we struggle with, however it is that we fall short on, and we're recognizing that that's a reality in our lives, that we have issues with things like anger, jealousy, frustration, lust. The gambit goes on and on and on. The list goes on. Whatever it is that you are having difficulty with in your life, whatever sin, greed, whatever is there. Ash Wednesday and Lent is a time to recognize that it is there and that we need to deal with it. That just ignoring it, just letting the sin live there and not doing anything about it doesn't help. But to take the things that we have and to give them to God is the joy of Lent. To recognize that we're not alone, that God hasn't abandoned us, that God hasn't allowed us to our own devices, but that God has walked with us every step of every moment. And that Christ, even in the midst of our uncertainty or our doubt or our shortcomings, continues to walk with us and continues to love us. That's one of the great things that I love about Ash Wednesday. Because at the same time that I am recognizing my frailties and my limits, in that very moment, Jesus at the same time whispers in my ear, I love you still. And this is what we do on Ash Wednesday. This is what Lent's all about. Recognizing that we need God and looking forward to Easter, remembering that God fulfilled our needs through Christ. Now, a quick trivia question. We celebrate Lent for 40 days, not counting Sundays. Why don't we count Sundays? Every Sunday, every time we gather together, either in Lent or out of Lent, the sermon, the worship service, the singing recognizes that Jesus is alive. And so during Lent, that recognition is still there. So even during the week, as we do this sometimes painful introspection and giving ourselves to God, recognizing our our faults and our sins in our lives, every Sunday acts as a little oasis to that. A little moment where we come to a watering hole in the desert and Christ says, remember, while you're in this journey, I'm still here. I'm alive. And so, though Lent and Ash Wednesday can be difficult, it's something that we don't do alone. So I ask that we pray together. I'll pray. You can listen or read along if you have your pamphlet. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word to make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our mortal nature. Let us now kneel or bow before our Creator and Redeemer. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Now, for those of you who have a baggie, you'll see that you have the ashes there in front of you. And also in the bag is two pieces of burlap. You have an option. When we place the ashes on our forehead, you can either dip the burlap into the ashes and then place that, the cross sign of the cross on your forehead with that. The coarseness of the burlap is a wonderful reminder of the coarseness of our lives. Our lives is less like silk and more like burlap. You don't have to use a burlap if you don't want to. You can just dip your finger, place it on the sign of your cross on your forehead. The ashes that you receive, coincidentally, if you want to give yourself ashes every Ash Wednesday on your own, they should last you about 7 years. It doesn't take a whole lot of ashes to put on your forehead. So go ahead and take the ashes, however it is you want, on the finger or on the burlap, and place the sign of your cross on your forehead, remembering that Christ lived for us and died for us, sinners, and loves us still. Thank you, Lord, for this gift, your love, your care in our lives, in our lives. With the extra piece of burlap, if you have an extra piece of burlap, I recommend you do this. You can take your clean piece of burlap and carry it with you in your pocket. And throughout Lent, And then as you put it in your pocket throughout Lent, you can, and you put your hand in your pocket, you can feel the coarseness and be reminded of our need for God. The coarseness of our own lives, how it's not as smooth as we would like it to be. Funny thing about burlap, though, is as soon as you cut it, it starts to fray. And the more and more you handle it, the more and more you use it, it's going to fall apart. The closer and closer we get to Easter, as our burlap gets smaller and smaller and starts to fall apart, it reminds us of how Christ is always working on us, taking away those rough edges, removing the burlap from our lives, and taking away the coarseness so that we may serve God all the better. And so as you feel the burlap in your pocket, you say a prayer, thanking the Lord for being with you and asking the Lord to continue to remove those sins that keep us from drawing closer to Christ. So I close with this prayer, and we're going to have, after this short prayer, a few moments of silence. May the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Take a few moments and go to the Lord silently. Lord, we thank you for hearing us, for knowing us, better than anyone else does, and for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of the Lord goes with you today and always. Amen and amen.